All right, good morning. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. Appreciate what's left of our children. Abby is with us this morning, my wife Gretchen. Appreciate Dr. Comfort in introducing them. We have five children. Our oldest is a nurse in Greenville, South Carolina. My next two sons are studying for the ministry. And then my next son is a freshman at West Point. He thought he lived under rules at our house until he got there and found out what the military wanted out of him. And then Abby is our youngest. So glad to have them with me this morning. Also, when Ainsley gave her testimony, you know, it's amazing how God works. God had been working in our hearts about the possibility of some type of shelter like this. Three other men and myself had enjoyed an afternoon of fellowship playing golf. We stopped at a red light, and I said, guys, we got to pray. The Lord has laid upon my heart, we need a home for people that need help. So we stopped at that red light and prayed. It wasn't a week later, Ainsley said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. And of course, you heard the testimony of what was upon her heart. So God orchestrated that in a perfect way, and very thankful for what God has brought to pass with the ministry of the House of Hope. 1 Samuel chapter 25 this morning, I want to talk to you about blind spots. On my way home from the office yesterday afternoon, on the way to eat dinner, we come down a very busy four-lane road that our church is near. And as I was driving actually east, coming west were two cars, both of them traveling about 45 to 50 miles an hour. And the car on the inside lane was going to go to the outside lane. And, of course, what happened? There was another car in his blind spot. So as the car on the inside lane tried to move over to the outside lane, there was almost a catastrophe right there, almost a wreck. By God's grace, the car that was in the outside lane realized what was happening, and he slammed on brakes to avoid a catastrophe. The car was in the exact blind spot of the driver on the inside lane. Folks, we all have blind spots. Either you are approachable and you are open to the Word of God or the Spirit of God or those that love you to come address these blind spots, or you're not open to it. This morning I want to see, are you approachable or are you unapproachable? The passage we're going to cover is a very familiar passage. This morning I want to deal with it on your blind spots. Turn to 1 Samuel 25 if you're not already there, and let's go to verse 3, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Now the name of the man was what? Nabal. You know him. And the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish or hard and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to work in our hearts that truly we'll be approachable to the Word of God this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your Word. We do thank you for the men and women listed. We know you've given us accurate details of their lives. And Father, I beg of you, as you study the life of Caleb and David and Abigail, Lord, make us approachable this morning to those that love us. Make us approachable by your Word and through your Spirit. Lord, meet with us. Father, reveal those blind spots so we may be used of you. I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want us to look this morning at what a person that is unapproachable. What is someone that's unapproachable? What does he look like? And I think as we look at Nabal this morning, I think we're going to see ourselves a lot in that life. So what does a man that's unapproachable look like? First, I think he is unwilling to see himself as God does. He is unwilling to see himself as God does. The verse I just read, verse 3. How does God describe Nabal? Two ways. Churlish, which means hard, hard-hearted, and notice evil in his doings. Now, who is recording this about Nabal? God himself is. So God is revealing us, giving us an insight to the character of Nabal. So how does a man become like this? I think, again, two ways. Go back to verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in the house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. See, I think a man becomes hardened, first because he neglects the ministry of God's man. Nabal neglected the ministry of Samuel. Samuel here has died. And upon Samuel's death, Samuel's ministry is over. But Nabal, I'm sure, was aware of the ministry of the man of God for this time named Samuel. And during this time, Nabal neglected the man Samuel's ministry that God had given him. Now, folks, a lot of unsaved people will listen to different preachers. They'll listen on the radio. They'll listen on the internet. They'll watch them on television. So you never know how they are being drawn by God the Father through the public preaching of God's Word. My wife was reared Roman Catholic. She was saved as a young adult. Both her parents died as Roman Catholics. But it's interesting. As I talked to her dad one night and trying to open the door years ago of trying to witness to him, I went downstairs where he was watching television. It was a Friday night. Again, this is a devout Roman Catholic all his life. Guess who what was on television? Now, this was back long before cable really came into existence. But they would put Charles Stanley of First Baptist Church of Atlanta on television on Friday nights in Charleston, South Carolina. Here was her dad, a devout Roman Catholic, every Friday night, I found out, going down to the basement and listening to a preacher of the Word of God. So you don't know what God is going to use to draw men. But obviously, Nabal had rejected the ministry of Samuel. He had rejected the ministry of God's man for that time. He was an evil man and hardened of heart. How else did Nabal get like this? I think Nabal also neglected the Word of God. If you would, again, look at verse 3. How was Nabal described? He was a churlish man, evil in his doings. He was hard. He was cruel. He was severe. He was stubborn, if we could put it this way. A good other synonym would be he was stiff-necked. An unapproachable man is unapproachable by the Word of God. He has no interest in it. Men and women, are we hard-hearted? Obviously, I don't believe Nabal was a saved man. But Nabal had others. Abraham responded to the drawing power of God, to God's Word. Noah responded to the drawing power of God and God's orders to him. Nabal neglected God's Word. Therefore, Nabal was unwilling to be approached by God. Look on with Nabal's life, if you would with me, starting in verse 4. I believe an unapproachable man also is unwilling to not acknowledge his sin against others. An unapproachable man is unwilling to acknowledge his sin he commits against others. Pick it up in verse 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Verse 7. And now I heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, were hurt with them. Neither was there aught missing until them all while the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, and unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David, and ceased. Verse 10. Notice how Nabal answered. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Totally sarcasm. Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and given to men who I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said to his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by that stuff. Nabal here was clearly unwilling to acknowledge his sin against others. Notice in verse 7, what happened? David's men did no harm to Nabal's shepherds. They did not take anything from them at all. In fact, if you go to verse 16, what does it say about David's men? It says they were a wall around the shepherds to protect them. So David's men went and actually protected Nabal's shepherds and all they had. Again, they were walled around them to protect them. So David's men went and asked Nabal, would you give us something? Was Nabal thankful for what David's men had done? No, not in the least. And in fact, you see his comment in verse 10. What did he do? He proved he was totally unapproachable by the way he responded. What was his response? Sarcasm. Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? What does sarcasm mean? It really means ripping the flesh. When you look at what the word really means, it means tearing the flesh. Well, what do we as preachers get so often? What do we get? Sarcastic. And when we become sarcastic and we answer people with a sarcastic tone, we're unapproachable. See, I also believe this. I believe God will bring people into my life to reveal those blind spots I have. And people come and they try to approach me. And when I am unapproachable, you know what? And when I respond to them as Nabal responded to David's servants, and if I respond in that sarcastic tone, you know what they're going to say? Never again will I try to approach Pastor Fan. If he's going to be that way, he is unapproachable. Folks, we don't want to be like this. We don't want sarcasm to immediately come out of our mouth. We must be approachable. Nabal was unapproachable. He was unwilling to admit his sin against others. He was greedy. He was selfish. Notice also, starting in verse 14, he was unwilling to listen to others. An unapproachable man, an unapproachable woman. You won't listen to others. Notice in verse 14, what does it say? But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife. Now, how was Abigail described in verse 3? Go back. She was a woman of good understanding, of a beautiful countenance. So this young man from Nabal's crew knew he could go to Nabal's wife, Abigail, make an appeal to her. And here's what he said. Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us. He's saying, hey, these men came to Nabal. They made an appeal to him. He railed on him. He was sarcastic. So this guy goes to Abigail, and what does he say? Abigail, these men were good to us. They did not hurt us, verse 15. Neither missed we anything as long as we were a conservant with them. When we were in the fields, verse 16, they were a wall to us. I've already mentioned that. By night and by day, go to verse 17. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial. Notice the last phrase. That a man what? Say it with me. A man cannot speak to him. Now, listen carefully. Think of your best friend or your spouse, or maybe a professor here that knows you well. Would they say this about you? They see a blind spot in your life. And they're praying about it. They come to you. And they say, no reason to go. Why? He's a man that cannot be spoken to. Folks, if we're unapproachable, God will bring people your way to help see your blind spot. But you know what? There are going to be some that say, what's the use? Why? He is a man that cannot be spoken to. You know who some of the most unapproachable people are? Preacher boys. You know why? You come here thinking you know it all. One of the purposes of Bible college and seminary is this, to teach you what you do not know. And when you leave here, you realize, I don't know hardly anything at all. I don't even feel qualified to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. Good. That's the way you need to leave here. Why? That will keep you on your knees and make you realize, I cannot do this in the flesh. You must be approachable. Nabal was totally unapproachable. His men knew this. They knew he was a man, verse 17, a man that cannot be spoken to. He was unwilling to listen to others. Can that statement be applied to you? Speaking again with our youngest son, Andrew, who is, again, going through a great transformation at West Point. And at West Point, you know, part of the thing is you are a company. You are a team. And if your room is not in total order, it's not simply your problem. It's also your roommate's problem. Andrew was doing his work and trying to get ready. And again, we try to be approachable at our house. I know that's hard. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But here's what happened. His roommate's name is, I won't call it here because it's being recorded, but his roommate went up to his roommate. His roommate was shining his shoes instead of doing what he should have been doing. And Andrew approached him and said, look, we got to get this room in order. You know what the roommate did? Took the rag he was shining his shoes with and threw it at him. All right? See, the next time he tries to talk to his roommate, what's going to happen? Is it worth the cost? Is it worth me going to battle with? Is that the way people view you? No, wait a minute. I know he's got a problem. I know she's got a problem. But you know what? I really don't want to fight that battle. Don't be a Nabal. Be approachable. Be willing to listen to others. The final thing an unapproachable man looks like is he is unaware of intercession by others. He's totally unaware how people will intercede for him. Pick it up in verse 18. What happened? You know the account? Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on the asses. And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Well, some of you are saying, well, she doesn't sound like a submissive wife to me. Notice carefully. I don't think she was in submission to him or not in submission to him. That's not the point. She was going to intercede for him. She was actually going to minister on his behalf. Do we realize that even when we're unapproachable, God will still in his mercy bring people to intercede for us? Do you realize, men, those that are married, you may be unapproachable at this moment, but your wife is interceding before you, before the throne of grace? Do we realize that God will still work in our behalf? Even when we're unapproachable, God will bring people to intercede for you. Think of this as well. Who do you need to intercede for? Maybe you have a parent that is truly unapproachable. Maybe they don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here. You're a first-generation Christian in your family. And they really are not approachable. What should you do? As Abigail did. Intercede for them. Are you unapproachable? Who is interceding for you? If that's what an unapproachable man looks like, what does an approachable man look like? What does an approachable man look like? Pick it up in verse 20. Great contrast. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the convert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath required me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. What does an approachable man look like? Listen carefully. He is willing to be directed and then redirected by God. I believe an approachable man is willing to be directed by God and then redirected by God. Now, do we believe that David thought he was doing God's will in verses 20 through 22 when he planned to destroy Nabal? Yeah. I think he was doing what he thought was a noble and right thing to do. But what happened? We're going to see. Until verse 23. What happened in verse 23? And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass and fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for his name is, so is he, Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, or fool. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as a soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, from avenging thyself with thine own hand, and let not thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing, which an handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. What happened? God used Abigail to redirect the path of David. God used this godly woman, this wise woman, this beautiful woman, to redirect him from going and killing Nabal and his men. An approachable man is willing to be directed by God and still remaining approachable to be redirected by God. We need to be formable and movable by the Spirit of God as He leads us. It is no accident that Abigail was brought into David's life at this exact time. Who is God bringing into your life to direct and redirect you as you seek to serve God? Who is it? All right, you think, but are we approachable to that person? Are we open to what this person has to say to us? By God's grace, David was open to what Abigail had to say. Now pick it up also. What else does an approachable person look like? I think the next quality of that person is this. An approachable person is willing to be corrected or chastened by God. See, an approachable person is willing to be corrected or chastened by God. And I think, again, there are three marks of an approachable person. It's one that is approachable by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and by those that love you. So if I'm an approachable person, I need to be open to what the Word of God tells me, either through the preaching or my personal devotion with Him. I need to be open to what the Spirit of God is teaching me. I need to be open to those that love me. Now what we're going to see here, pick it up in verse 28 if you would. David was corrected by God in two different ways. Verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because the Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Now, was she saying that David was sinless? Is that what she's saying? No. What is she saying? I believe David was a man that quickly confessed his sins. Now, we know from Psalm 51 there was a point when when God dealt with him about his sin against Bathsheba. And the sin of murder. The sin of adultery. But it says here in 28, evil hath not been found in all thy days. Your life before the Lord right now. What unconfessed sin is there where God is not approaching you because you're not confessing that sin? What evil is in your life at this very moment? What evil is it that you came into the chapel, you knew the Spirit of God was dealing with you because you're living in unconfessed sin? If I can continue to live in unconfessed sin, I am not being an approachable man. I want to be approachable by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and by those that love me. Therefore, if you are, I believe this can be said of you. Evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. That is a mark of an approachable man. How long does it take you to confess your sins? How long can you go on living in the sin you're living in? Several years ago, a pastor and his son were sent to me for counseling. This young man had really cost his dad his ministry. The young man was caught in a homosexual relationship within the church of a young adolescent. So a pastor sent this pastor and his son to me, and the dad was broken. And as I talked to the son about his sin, and we started to get that right, I turned to the dad, because the pornography was a huge issue in this young person's life. So I turned to the dad and I said, when was the last time you viewed pornography? What happened? His face dropped. Why? He was unapproachable by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and it was taking a toll upon his family. The dad also was caught up in pornography, in a hidden sin. But yet it came out manifested in his son's life. It cost him his ministry. It's just about cost him his family. Why? He was unapproachable by the Word of God. He was unapproachable by the Spirit of God, even as he entered the pulpit on Sundays and Wednesdays. Men, women, we must be willing to be approached by the Word of God, to be corrected by the Word of God. Now look at verse 29 quickly. How also can we be corrected to be approached? Verse 29 says this, yet a man is risen to pursue thee. Now again, who are we talking about here? David is being pursued by who? Okay, being pursued by Saul. Or it could be Nabal here, it could be either way. I take it as Saul. He's being on the run. God will raise up people to purify my life. Can I put it that way? God will raise up people in your church. And if you're approachable, they will come and approach you. Now, you may think they're the world's worst critic. They may come to you Sunday after Sunday. Preacher, that message was not good. Why didn't you do this or do that? But what is God doing? He's raising up someone to pursue after you in order to what? Purify you. Don't take all the criticism as negative. Take it as God using this person to make me approachable, to make me dependent upon God. Man, we must be approachable. We must be dependent. I want to be humble and holy, not hardened and harsh. Nabal was hardened and harsh. David became humbled, and therefore God was able to use him. And by God's grace, he'd be called holy. An unapproachable man is hard. An approachable man should be humble. What else does an approachable man look like? Pick it up in verse 32. He is willing to be confronted by others. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Notice verse 33. And blessed be what? Say it with me. Thy advice. Blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which kept back from the hurting thee, except thou hast hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. And David received of her hand that which she had brought him. And he said to her, go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice. David, the mighty warrior, is saying to this godly woman, I have listened to you. Men, those that are married, can your wife sit down and talk with you or not? Listen carefully. Can she sit down and say, you know, I see this in your life? She's going to try to. Or maybe she has tried to. But you know what she's saying? It's not worth the fight. It's just not worth it to try to talk to him. What did David say about Abigail? Blessed be their advice. I have hearkened to thy voice. One of the great opportunities as pastors is to counsel families, to give advice, to try to help families put their lives in order, to try to help families understand how to apply Scripture. And when you can tell when you're getting somewhere with a couple is this, when you give the assignment for the man to sit down, I say, make an appointment, and you'll make all 30 minutes and talk to your wife and let her tell you what she sees going on in your life. Let her identify five areas that I need to change. And then I say, okay, now wife, you do the same thing with the husband. The husband needs to identify five areas in your life where you need to change. There are two things going to happen. Either this is going to blow up, okay? I mean, it's going to be World War IV right there in the office when they come back in. You know why? They're not approachable. Or they have learned to humble themselves and become approachable by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and those that love them. Is a mark of spiritual maturity, of spiritual growth, when someone can sit down and say, hey, I see a blind spot. Have you considered doing it a different way? Have you really thought about what's going on? Are you aware of the way this is being perceived? And you know what? It doesn't stop with husband and wife. When your children are old enough, You know why so many teenagers won't talk to their parents? Why? Parents won't listen to them. Parents, are we approachable by our children that are mature enough to talk to us that way? You as parents need to make sure when your children come that you are approachable. Parents, are we, do we make our children approachable? Several years ago, a missionary couple came to our church. And my wife noticed this. She noticed, just simply noticed the way one of the teenage boys responded to the mom. Rolling the eyes, shrugging the shoulders in front of her. He was unapproachable. Now, we did what we thought the right thing to do. We talked to him about it. We dealt with it. We talked to their pastor about it. But guess what happened when they got to the mission field? The first crisis was what? A child in rebellion. Now, listen carefully. Many of you are not married, but those that are, but listen for the future, those that are married and have children, you must train your children to be approachable. Because the way they respond to you is going to be the same way they respond to any authority, including God. So I want to set the pattern. I want to be approachable first by the Word of God. Every morning when I sit down to open the Bible, first thing I say, Lord, make my heart open. I want to know where am I in sin. I want to be approached by You and Your Spirit this morning. And as I do that, and I allow my wife to approach me, or my children to approach me, or the men and women in our church to approach me, you're setting a pattern of becoming like David, not like Nabal. Are you approachable? Let's ask you this in closing. Sometime during this coming semester, the semester, I understand, is going off to a great start here. How are you going to respond when a professor comes to you in love, in concern, and says, hey, you're really not doing what you should be doing in this area? How are you going to respond to that? Well, one of two ways. You can blow up, get all upset. You probably won't say anything just out of respect. Most of you have probably got enough self-control to, you know, act dignified and spiritual in front of the professor. But on your way back to your dorm or to your apartment or to your house, what's going to happen? Are you going to start fuming and saying, I dare someone say that about me? Or are you going to say, Lord, thank You for revealing another blind spot in my life? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when that roommate who has grown to love you and real concern for you comes to you and say, hey, have you considered this part of your life? And instead of saying, thank you, instead of saying, as David, I want to listen to your voice, I want to be approachable, what do? Well, that's not really my fault. You did it that way. You're the blame, not me. Folks, in closing, I am convinced that God loves us so much, He will bring people to expose our blind spots. How do I know that? Because I got a whole lot of blind spots. And finally I got into conviction, realizing God was bringing people into my life to correct me, to help me see, to give me bigger rear view mirror so I don't hit that car next to me. But you know what's happened? A lot of you have already responded ungodly to either a teacher, a professor, an advisor, to Brother Comfort, to Brother Hankey, somebody in authority over you. You've already wrecked. You've already pulled over in that lane, not seeing what was coming. You need to go and ask for forgiveness. You do. Many of you, some of you, may have left home in anger with your parents. They may have been trying to expose a blind spot in your life before you come down here. You know what you need to do tonight before you go to bed? Get them on the phone. You're going to say, you know what? God has convicted me. You were trying to help me see something in my life that needed changing. I responded sinfully. Will you please forgive me? You that are married, I want to give you this challenge. If your wife is not here, she'll probably drop dead when you go home and ask her. Say, honey, you know what? I need 30 minutes of your time. And I need you to sit down and tell me. And I want you to make an agreement with me that you see blind spots in my life, you will address it. By God's grace, when I was in seminary, I was running a business. We owned a family business and had four kids. And then our fifth one was born, Abby, while I was in seminary. But what I would do, I'd come home from work, and I had to have 15 minutes, okay? I just told my wife, I said, clear the kids out. I've got to have 15 minutes alone with you face to face. And you know what that started? A pattern of approachability, okay? Where just 15 to 20 minutes. I didn't have much other time. I had to go study. Had all these things going on. The same thing you're going through right now. But right now, in the midst of all the pressure you're in, all the pressure you're under, you can establish a pattern of being approachable by three things. The Word of God. I know you're required to spend time in the Word of God, but are you spending time reading it to be approachable? Will you be approachable by the Spirit of God? As messages are preached from this pulpit, as you hear messages in the classrooms, do you become numb to it because you're hearing the Word of God so much? Or do you allow the Spirit of God to prick your heart and be approachable? And finally, would you bow this morning, Lord, I want to be approachable by those that love me. I want people to be able to come to me. And when they see those blind spots, I don't want to be calloused. I don't want to chase them away as Nabal did. I want to be as David, who took the advice of this godly woman, and then he thanked her for it. As we close this morning, can you say, Pastor Fant, I've already wrecked that car in that lane beside me. I had a blind spot. They tried to correct me. I didn't see this blind spot. I've already made a wreck of several lives because I was unapproachable. You know what you need to do. You need to confess that to God right now. And then before the sun sets this evening, make an attempt to get things right with that person that you pulled out in front of. Will you do that? You say, Pastor, I've already caused some crashes. Okay, let's get it right. And the second thing is, this semester begins. Lord, make me an approachable man. Make me an approachable woman. Let's close in prayer.